I love making a fabringen the day before a special occasion. Because when the special occasion starts, tomorrow night is the Rebbe's birthday. And the day when the mazel of the Rebbe shines, and day of tremendous holiness and blessing for all the Jewish people. So I like to make a little fabringen before. That way we don't come to that day and we're like, we didn't prepare for it. Sit together, say L'chaim together, and it's something special. A friend of mine was giving out matzah before Passover, and this guy tells him, you know, Rabbi, I'm going to get married. So my friend says, Mazel Tov. So the guy says, for me it's a Mazel Tov, but for you, I don't think you would say Mazel Tov. So my friend knew exactly what he meant right away. And the guy, before my friend could say anything, he says to him, please don't say anything to me. I don't want you to say anything. I made up my mind. No matter what you're going to tell me, I'm going to marry her. You can't convince me otherwise. So please, don't try to say anything to me. So my friend started to pray to Hashem in his heart, asking Hashem to give him something to say. It's something that, what could he possibly do to help this guy? So he says to him the following. He says, I just want to tell you a story. The guy says, oh, good. You say good stories. I like your stories. He said that in 1945, Dachau, in a concentration camp, there was a Jew whose name was Shlomo Gelkin. Shlomo Gelkin was 16 years old, and this is a true story. My friend researched this, and he met this guy. And Shlomo Gelkin, he said that in the concentration camp, there was one guy there, they called him the Rebbe. They called him the Rebbe because he took care of everyone. He gave everyone a lot of love. He was like their father, their mother, their brothers that they had lost. And people cried on his shoulders. And he was always very, very aware of whatever the holidays were. He was very, very conscious of all different holidays. And he said to Shlomo, he said, you know, the holiday of Pesach is coming, another 10 days. Somehow he knew, he's a genius, able to keep the calculation of all the dates, Jewish dates. The holiday of Passover is coming. And I want to be able to have matzah for Passover. So I want you to go to ask for 2 kilo of flour so we can make matzah in the concentration camp. So Shlomo was there with his father. And his father says, what are you talking about? He's going to go ask they'll shoot him on the spot. He's going to go ask a Nazi for flour. But the rabbi, the chassid, this holy man, he says, let me show you something. He takes out of his pocket a napkin which had 2 golden teeth. There was a Jew whose name was Zundel. Not everyone knows what golden fillings are. You ever saw a golden filling? You heard of golden fillings? Okay. So, the golden filling used to be real, real gold. It used to be as gold as fillings. It had some value. So there was a Jew whose name was Zundel. This is what the chassid, the rabbi, was saying. Zundel came over to me a few days ago, and Zundel said, listen, I don't feel I'm going to stay too long in this world. I feel like my time in this world is, my time is numbered. And I really want to be able to give something to my brothers that remain here alive. I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to give something to you guys. I want to leave you with something. So I have these 2 golden teeth that Nazis didn't take out of me, and I took these boards and I broke my teeth out, and I have them. And I want you to be able to create matzah here in the concentration camp. And this is, and imagine he hit himself with his boards, blood everywhere, but he got these 2 golden teeth, and he said, he gave them to this chassid, and he said to him, I want you to help everyone here to feel that just like we left Egypt, we had matzah, I want you to get matzah for everyone, for the Jews here, so that they'll also realize that this is not permanent, and that Hashem is going to take out of this hell also. So Shlomo's father, he's like, what do you want from him? What do you want from my son? He's listening. He can go to the Nazi who's in charge of the kitchen, and go to the cook. He can give him these 2 golden teeth, and he can ask him for 2 in exchange for And if not, the rabbi said, if not, Zundel's sacrifice will be for naught. Zundel would have given his life and his gold, and his pain for nothing. So when Shlomo heard this, he grabbed the golden teeth and he ran to the kitchen and he went to go speak to the Nazi in charge of the kitchen. And he tells the Nazi, "I have these two golden teeth, I want to buy 2 kilo of flour." The Nazi screams at him. Nazi says, "I know what you want. Your holiday of Passover is coming. I know exactly why you want this. He said, I'm not going to give this to you. Not only am I going to give this to you, you can't bribe me. I'm actually going to report you. And you're going to be killed. And now you're going to be killed. Your father's going to be killed too." And he laughs at him. As he's talking to him, and he's threatening him, you know, it's a very frightening thing. But this was towards the end of the war. And American planes were flying overhead and bombing. And they hear an American plane coming. And the Nazi runs into the basement to protect himself. And the next day after work, the Nazi comes over to him. And the Nazi says to him, "Here's 2 kilo of flour." And the Shlomo wanted to give him the 2 golden teeth. He was afraid to take the golden teeth. He says, "Just pray for me, please." Nazi says, "Pray for me that I should survive after the war." That's what he said. He gave him the flour. So Shlomo, he took the flour, and he gave the flour to this rabbi. And the rabbi somehow, he doesn't know till this day how he did it, he managed to use the flour and to make matzah. And well, not matzah like we know of matzah, but something that looks similar to matzah in some way. And the next, on the night of the Seder, after everyone came back from the work and they went to their makeshift, what they called beds, this slab of wood that 8 people slept on, they all got down from their beds in the middle of the night, and they had a Seder. And the rabbi led the Seder. And the rabbi didn't have any wine. They had tears for wine. They had plenty of murder. But they had matzah. And they never, Shlomo said, "I'll never forget the matzah. We had matzah. We felt, you know, we have something that really reminded us how Hashem took us out of Egypt. And Hashem will take us out of this Egypt also. It really gave us all, it gave us so much strength. It made us feel something above where we were." So Rabbi Savatitsky, he said he's told the story to this guy who wanted to marry this non-Jewish woman. And he hugged him and he said to him, "I just want you to know that Zundel and your grandparents, they're all watching you. They're all watching. I wish you the best. I wish you success. You know, they're watching you." That's really all he told him. And the next week he came to visit this guy's office and he said to him, he said to the rabbi, he said, I cut it all off. I ended the whole thing. Ended the whole thing. Zundel was watching. What this guy experienced, this guy, he married Jewish and he has children. Baruch Hashem, he built a beautiful home. What he experienced is called freedom. And that's something that we are meant to experience on the night of the Seder. Everyone has different things that they contend with. Not everyone has the issue that he did. He was going out with this non-Jewish girl. But everyone has different things, different tendencies. Maybe a lack of confidence in the abilities Hashem gave you. Maybe addictions, maybe jealousy, maybe hatred, maybe all kinds of anger, anxiety. And everyone has different things that they're contending with, everyone in their own way. And the night of the Seder is similar to the night Hashem took us out of Egypt, where Hashem gives us ability to leave whatever it is that's constricting us. That's why there's 15 parts of the Seder. The 15 parts of the Seder correspond to the 15 steps that were in the temple where they ascended to go to the next higher part of the temple. The similar way, in order to take a step in life, Hashem gives us the Seder, to take a step forward, to go a step away where we were before. And what's the first step of the Seder? Kaddish. Making Kiddush. What's the second step? Urchatz. To wash yourself. Now what should go first? To wash yourself or to make Kiddush? Make more sense. First, wash yourself off from the negative. Then put on holiness. Then try to bring holiness upon yourself. But here, it starts off with Kaddish and goes to Urchat. Starts with holiness. Well, why first wash yourself off? Then you try to bring some holiness unto yourself. Also, this is the only part of the Seder, one of the only parts of the Seder, which has a continuation of the part before. In other words, there's a letter Vav there. Kaddish, then it's Urchat. It doesn't say Rochat, it says Urchat. So it's Urchat means, and we wash. What does "and we wash" mean? That means it's connected to Kaddish. It's a continuation. Why is it a continuation? Why don't we say ukarpas, uyachatz, umagid? We don't do that. We only say urchatz, and now we wash. It's connected. And the answer is this. Washing doesn't mean a physical washing. In order to wash your hands from dirt, in order to wash for karpas or wash for matzah, your hands have to be clean before. You can't have any chatzitza, you can't have anything on your hands that separate between your hands and the water. So your hands have to be clean before you wash. So the idea of washing isn't just washing off of dirt. The idea of washing is to wash off things in our life that don't belong there. Things that don't belong in our lives. Things that weigh us down, that loads on our shoulders, that don't belong. So in order to get rid of all these loads on our shoulders, the first thing we need to do is to identify with our own inner holiness. In order to be able to wash things off, you have to first identify and realize how precious and how holy you are. Only because you know you are a Kaddish, only because you know that you're holy, the Rebbe once said this, every Jew should know that he is a chassid, he is the son of a chassid, and he's a grandson of a chassid. You hear? Every Jew should know, the Rebbe said, that he is a chassid, the son of a chassid, grandson of a chassid. Only because you know how holy you are, how good you are, then you realize the things in your life that don't belong. And this is also the reason, for example, you can't know what being blind is if you never could see. You can't know what being poor is if you never were rich. You only define poverty and blindness because you were once able to see, because you were once rich. And so this is the power of the night of the Seder. It's to be aware of our inner freedom, who we really are. And because we have this inner freedom, because we have this holiness, therefore we say to ourselves, Urchatz, have to wash off what doesn't belong. And that's why we have the 4 cups of wine. Why 4 cups of wine? Why not 4 plates of pastrami? I mean, why 4 cups of wine specific? What's wine? So wine, when a person drinks wine, what happens to them? They open up. The idea of drinking wine means it corresponds to the 4 promises Hashem gave us about taking us out of Egypt, the 4 Lashon Shagula. Right? So corresponding to the 4 expressions Hashem said, I'll take you out of Egypt, I'll bring you to the land of Israel, the 4 different expressions that Hashem used when he took us out of Egypt, corresponding to that, we have the 4 cups of wine. Why? The idea of the 4 cups of wine, as Fasem says, is acknowledging that we have in us, in ourselves, we have the power to be free. We have the ability to free ourselves. Just like when you take a look at a grape, you don't see a grape has any relationship to the wine. The juice is inside the grape. And so too in ourselves, this potential, this ability to completely let go of all the things in our life that don't belong, and completely start over again, as if nothing ever happened, and to be with fresh happiness and joy and connection and emunah and faith, that ability is like the grapes and the wine. You don't expect the wine to come out of the grapes, but it does. It's hidden within there and it comes out. So too, drinking the 4 cups of wine is to bring into ourselves this consciousness that we aren't limited to our past mistakes. We aren't limited to where we were yesterday. This guy looks in the New York Times and it says that he passed away. So he knows he didn't pass away because he's alive. So he calls up New York Times, says, look, I saw the obituary, had my name. So, you got to fix that. They're like, no, our newspaper doesn't make mistakes. He's like, what do you mean? I mean, I'm alive. What do you mean your newspaper doesn't make mistakes? He calls because the one editor and the top editor, listen, our newspaper does not make mistakes. Well, we could do something for you. Well, we could put you into the birth section. We have to, on Pesach, you have to be born again, to start over. That's why on Pesach we say Manishtana. What's Manishtana mean? Why is this night different than all other nights? What that really means is, why am I different now than I was last year? How am I different today than I was before? There is a special power Hashem gives us on Pesach to really feel free. The Rebbe Rashab once said this, what's the difference between a poor person and a rich person? This guy, he works in the diamond exchange, and he has these fancy cigars, and he always gives this poor guy a few $100 whenever he collects tzedakah. Usually, a person collects tzedakah, they don't get a few $100 they get $1, or $5, or $10, $20. This guy gives him a few $100. And he says, I smoke these expensive cigars. Cigars are worth a few $100. but I don't get the satisfaction that I have when I give this guy $300, the face lights up, the kind of satisfaction I have. A poor person could also make it big sometimes. He usually collects $1, and he collects $500, collects $1,000. And a rich person could all of a sudden lose overnight, in a second, lose $1 million. What's the difference, Rebbe Rashab said, between a poor person and a rich person? You can't measure it in the money, because the poor person can make a lot of money, the rich person can lose a lot of money. Like this one guy, his diamond arrives in his office, he opens it up and examines it, he starts to scream and cry. It was a $2 to $3 million diamond, and there's a tiny crack in it. Mm-hmm. So it's hundreds of thousands of dollars difference because of the tiny crack. So the way to measure the difference in the poor man and the rich man, mm-hmm. Rabbi Rashab said, is this. The rich man, even when he is losing, he feels he is rich. The poor man, even when he's making, feels I'm a poor man. This is the power, the night of the Seder, Hashem gives us the ability to feel that we aren't essentially, we've changed. Because Hashem took us out of Egypt. There is nothing that Hashem limits Hashem, and a Jew is a part of Hashem. In other words, what happened on the night of the Seder is that there's something inside of us that changed, that we became godly people. We became some people in this world who are of a part of Hashem in us, and therefore do not have any limitations. Like we say in davening every day. We say in davening, with the light of your face, Hashem, you gave us Hashem our God. Torah's Chaim. What does it mean you gave us Hashem our God? What that means is Hashem gave us our godliness, our love for Hashem, our connection to Hashem. That's something we have inside of us. There was a guy, he visits Israel, he goes all over Israel, and he says, you know, Israel, they say it's a holy land. It's not holy at all. He asks this rabbi, you say Israel's a holy land. I've been through the whole Israel and haven't seen anything holy there. So the rabbi says, well, you saw the Putzikim. You saw the Putzikim, didn't you? The Putzikim? What are Putzikim? So what does it matter? What's the difference of what they are? You've seen them. What's the difference of what they are? You've seen them. He says, Rabbi, how am I supposed to know if I've seen them or I haven't seen them if I don't even know what they are? Ah, the rabbi says, you say you haven't seen any holiness. So how do you know if you haven't seen holiness? How do you know if you have seen holiness or you haven't seen holiness if you don't know how to define holiness? You haven't seen the Putzikim, right? You have seen Putzikim, you haven't seen, you know what Putzikim are. So you have to first define what is holiness. What's holiness mean? Holiness means, in Hebrew and Torah, holiness means separation, above limitations. Holiness means something is above. You're not limited. When you say Hashem is holy, what does that mean Hashem is holy? He's beyond any kind of definition, a parameter, limitation. So a Jew, when you say that a Jew has holiness in him, it means a Jew has the ability to reject all the shackles that have held him down and to really connect to Hashem. Nothing could stop him. And that's a question we have to ask ourselves. And at the Seder, Manishtana. You know, at the end of the Seder, we have the Afikoman. What happens after you have the Afikoman? What do you eat next after you eat the Afikoman? What do you eat next? Anything? Nothing. The last thing you eat is Afikoman. Why? You're supposed to have the taste of the Afikoman afterwards. You have to ask yourself before the Seder, where do you want to go? What kind of taste do you want to have after you finish the Seder? On the night of the Seder, we break the middle matzah in half. Why do we break it in half? One explanation is, the Chassidic Masters is this, that on the night of the Seder, it's sort of like we feel that us and Hashem are two halves of one. Like two friends, they make a bond between each other, that they're never going to separate from each other. In the time of Avram Avinu, how they make this bond, they would cut an animal in half and they would walk between it to say, we are each of us is a half without the other. That's the idea of splitting the middle matzah, to say that we have a bond with Hashem and nothing can separate us from Hashem. It's like, imagine you have a picture of two friends. They cut the picture in half, we're missing something on each other. We're missing something. That's the idea of breaking the matzah in half. So, I know how it works in your Seder and our Seder, sometimes when I'm in a good mood, we give Afikoman presents. If I hide Afikoman, you find it, you get a present, or I don't get it back. What present do you want? That's you're the adult. You're giving your child the present. But what present do you want to get from Hashem for your Afikoman? What are you trying to accomplish this year? What kind of taste do you want to leave in your mouth after your Afikoman this year? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? Man nishtana layla zeh. Where do you want to be after the Seder? You know, the Torah says about Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, that he went to go find donkeys. And he went to Shmuel the prophet to help him find the donkeys. And instead of finding the donkeys, you know what Shmuel did? Shmuel anointed King Saul as the king of the Jewish people. So you got a lot more than donkeys. Some people, they come night of the Seder, they're looking for donkeys. I don't mean literally looking for donkeys. You're looking for a nice time with family, a nice meal. If that's what you're looking for, you may find only that. But really, sometimes night of the Seder, no matter what we're looking for, Hashem gives us something higher than that. Hashem gives us monarchy, greatness. You're able to lift yourself above all the things, all the petty things that we're jealous, we're worried, we're concerned, we're all the things that really shouldn't make a difference, and negligible. Night of the Seder, Hashem gives us the ability to feel reimus hanefesh, to feel above all these petty little things, to bring us to a different place. That's the gift of the night of the Seder. Imagine if you were living in Egypt today. Who would you be like? Would you be like Amram? Would you be like Moshe Rabbeinu? Would you be like Nachshon? Is there anything in your life that you need to jump into you haven't jumped into yet? Is there something that no one's jumped into it yet, and there's something that has to get done, and you want to jump there because you know this is something that has to get done? Are you the guy? So this is the power Hashem gives us night of the Seder, that and tells us to drink the four cups of wine. Wine could go two different ways. Wine doesn't always lead to a good thing. The tree of knowledge in Hollywood, they say tree of knowledge was, survey says, no. What did Holly say? The tree of knowledge. What kind of tree was it? It was an apple, but it wasn't an apple. It was not an apple.
Good.
It was a grape, according to one opinion. It was four fruits connected. There were four fruits connected to each other. One of them was a grape. Why? It says that Chava squeezed the grapes and served her husband the wine. So, what's the idea of the grape? One thing about a grape is, unlike other fruits. Grapes cannot become kilayim. Grapes cannot become mixed with other fruits. So Hashem is telling us, telling us to drink the four cups of wine to rectify the sin of the tree of knowledge, and instead to use this special night when Hashem gives us the ability to open ourselves up, and to realize we're special. Not just we shouldn't marry non-Jewish, like this guy had his issue, not to think non-Jewish. Not to realize we have a special, unique way that Hashem gave us to look at the world, to breathe, and to function, and to direction coming from Egypt, going towards Jerusalem and Mashiach, to realize we are different, we're different, and we have a different direction, we have different yardstick for deciding what is success, what's not success. That's one idea of the grape. And that's why before we drink, we say, Savri Maran, and pay attention. You want to go somewhere tonight, and you want to go somewhere really good. And that's the reason why Hashem tells us to first say Kaddish, and then to Urchatz. Hashem is telling us, you first have to realize who you are, first realize you are part of Hashem, and that's why all the things that don't belong in life are not actually going to stay with you. You actually can be Nishtana. You actually, Man Nishtana Laila Azeh. This night is different for me, and I am moving to a different place. And this is what Mashiach is about. Mashiach is about revealing who we really are. Mashiach is about the spark of Mashiach in each person, that being revealed, that in an open and clear way, the way that we just throw away all the stuff. In a second, Mashiach comes, we'll be like, oh, what were we into yesterday? We won't even be a thing. As a chayim l'chayim, all preparations, the alfness in itself. Preparations of the Geula, Mishashem, Mishael Tzakeinu. So where's the wine you're asking for? We'll have to get it. L'chaim, l'chaim, v'racha. To finish it before Pesach, yeah?